You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with Ron Kitchens, and today's podcast is all about community. It's about innovation, and we'll even talk a little bit about leadership. These are all thoughts that Ron has shared extensively in his blog and his podcast. So we wanted to give you some insight and perspective from another incredible leader today.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. I think listeners will probably be glad that instead of today hearing from you interviewing me, it's an incredible interview that you had with Gray Swope. Gray's a friend to both you and I, and our listeners in the economic development field know him, both as his role as head of economic development for the states of Florida and Mississippi, where he built an incredible relationship with Governor Barbour, who came to national prominence when Katrina hit the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And Gray was there shoulder to shoulder with the governor. He went on to work for Governor Scott in Florida. His new role at Vision First Advisors, he's working with people and places to ensure they're growing jobs, they're creating vibrancy in their economies. They're truly taking the skills that he's learned through 3 decades of economic development experience and bringing it to communities all over America and really the globe. You know, Gray's been a great friend, as I mentioned, to both you and I, but he's also a great friend to Consultant Connect. So why don't we, rather than me talk and take up all the time, let's listen to your interview with Gray.
Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I have a special guest today joining me, Gray Swope. Gray, welcome to the call.
Hey, Tim. How are you doing today?
Everything's great, Gray. Talking about leadership today, I'm really excited to have you on the call. Not only are you a leader in the economic development world, but you have proven to bring leadership, even at the state level, in one of the fastest growing states in Florida. And then you work in Mississippi as it continues, and now running a private business. So you've gone from public sector to private sector to consulting to economic development. Your career spans quite a bit of opportunity. And I hope to try to get as much as we can in today about what leadership was calling you to do through all that time and what it's calling you to do now. So Sir Isaac Newton said a long time ago that if I can see further than others, I am standing on the shoulders of giants. Talk about the giants whose shoulders you're standing on.
Well, you know, first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the first step to stand upon the giants is having great family support.
Sure.
And, you know, I can't thank my mom and dad enough for the family support and encouraging both my sister and I to be the most that we can. But as I got more into the business, one of the probably first thought leaders that really influenced how I was thinking and looking at strategy and how things should be approached is somebody that I think that has just great vision in economic development. And there was a guy I worked for and one of my dear friends in Arkansas is Dell Boyette. And I felt like I've been able to stand on his shoulders. I've learned from Dell and really pushed the envelope in this country boy and where I grew up in small town Mississippi to expand my thinking and do things such as leading foreign direct investment from the Pacific Rim to Arkansas at that time and really push myself to do things that I hadn't done before and really see the world from a very global perspective. So I give credit to Dell.
No question about it. Sounds like he's a real giant for you in your leadership. How do you think your leadership style is unique? So with all the people you work with, obviously you've separated yourself as a person who's bringing impact to communities. What do you think is different about your leadership approach?
Well, you know, I've had the unique opportunity of being able to work at the state level in economic development for 3 different states and actually to lead 2. And I think that gives you a great advantage in being able to see competitive communities and which ones have the assets and are able to take advantage of that and to have successful economic development than the others that may not have as much or have just as much and cannot take advantage of it. But I think one of the keys from that I've learned is really in economic development, for me, I find that being a collaborative leader is one of the most helpful things. And it's sometimes hard to do when you're sitting at a capital, and you know, you have other, what I would say, agency heads that may not have to work collaboratively. They, you know, they've got their circle of influence and they try to go ahead and push down the work. But I'm a big believer in that you start at the ground level, work with your communities, collaborate what they need and the tools that they need from a state perspective for them to carry out their programs. And I try to do that in every aspect of the strategy, you know, whether it's local, whether it's regional, whether it's state, that collaborate with your stakeholders, with your customers, to, so that you can have a better product.
I'm watching a pattern in leadership, Gray, and it seems like that magic concept of collaboration, cooperation, working together across different lines. It seems like to me we're getting further and further away from that as a culture. As a leader, what do you do to counter this pull to be separate, to be individualistic in our approach to our work? I mean, it's always better together. It just seems like we're scared to death of it.
Well, I think a lot of it's influenced by our world today. I mean, we look around in our country and the divisiveness that's in our country, and the thinking of people is so very different. And so I think one of the ways that you can work toward finding common solutions is to understand how both sides are motivated, how all groups are motivated. So if you're looking at a community strategy, I think it can no longer be the one-sided, you know, the chamber sets the strategy, we move forward as a community. If it's not inclusive of the community as a whole, I think the strategy fails. The technology today has given the ability for small voices that have not been heard to be heard. And I think that if you have a strategy that you have to have all voices at the table, and I think that as leaders, we have to understand, you know, what is motivating this? How did this thinking come about so that you can have a serious dialogue? You may not agree, and you probably will not agree on all things, but there is a pathway to move forward that you can say, look, we may not agree, but we do agree for the betterment of our community. These are some things that we can do together.
Yeah, it seems like the challenge for leaders today is how to drive fear and anxiety out of the room, or at least to recognize it and replace it with more positive emotions that attract collaboration. When you think about your life and your leadership, is there a motto or a lesson or a quote that you kind of live by, a mantra? What's the gray thing?
Well, I've always been a big believer in attitude determines actions. And I heard it most of my life and shared it with my kids. I don't know if they really listened, but I can tell you, if you have a bad attitude going to school, you're going to have a bad day. It's the same thing with work. If you go to work with a bad attitude, you're going to have a bad day at work. I really believe in having an attitude really helps determine the outcomes. And so I try to wake up every day, and it may not be one of those days I'm feeling all the best, but I make sure that my attitude, that's one thing I can control. I can control it, and nobody's going to influence it. But if I have my right attitude, I go in and I start accomplishing the things that I need to accomplish, it's going to be a better outcome if I have the right attitude.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this idea of attitude, I heard one leader say something to the effect of that attitude or faith or, you know, that kind of positive outlook doesn't necessarily determine the outcome, but it certainly establishes the outlook. It sounds like you're using that every single day. What's on the growing edge of your leadership? So you've been doing this economic development, community, state work for a long time. How are you growing? What is the area that you're focusing on growth in your personal leadership now?
Well, I continue to look at ways in how the community as a whole can come together and move forward for whatever they set as their goals. But I kind of look at it as good jobs and how to, for families to provide disposable income and the things that we take for granted so often that everybody has, but they don't. And how do we grow as a community as a whole? And I'm always looking at how are communities approaching that. I like looking at different approaches. And I'm often reminded in the consulting world today, as I look at things, it really is true that there's no cookie cutter approach to economic development. I mean, often you go in and you'll talk to a community or a group of leaders and representing a region, and they go, hey, we want to be like so-and-so community. How are they structured? And it's really not how they're structured. It's not really about their programs. You know, there's some lessons to be learned from it maybe, but at the end of the day, it's how it fits in your community. So it's just being able to take the knowledge of 30 plus years in economic development and seeing different ways, different approaches, and how that can provide help to our clients and to better move forward with their own strategies.
Let's talk about the economy and economic development. Many are arguing today that the issues of workforce, income and wage inequality, technological advances, all of those things are playing some significant roles in what we're seeing as outcomes in communities and across the United States. But from an economic perspective or an economic development perspective, what do you think the most difficult and potentially unpopular decision we must make as a nation is? Like, what is the thing we have been ignoring or refusing to grapple with that we're going to finally have to grapple with if we want to continue to prosper as a nation?
Well, I think the biggest issue facing our nation today is the national debt. And nobody seems to really be seriously interested in tackling it. And it's going to hit home in the next couple of decades when we look up and we look at three sources of expenses for this country are going to eat the entire revenues that are generated by the current system. When you look at the debt service, when you look at the cost of health care, and then Social Security. Those three things alone, if not addressed, will consume 100% of our income as a nation in the next couple of decades. And so there'd be no money left for education. There'd be no money left for defense and everything. You just go down the list. And so at some point as a country, we've got to figure out how to deal with that. Now, that's the big picture thing that I could tell you that you and I are not going to solve on this podcast today.
Well, I bet you if you gave you and I 15, 20 minutes, we can figure it out. But I hear what you said. We don't have time now.
Yeah, we can figure it out, but I don't know if we can get anything done with it.
Now, that might be true. Let me ask you another question about kind of overall career. When you look at your life, your career, your work, how are you defining success?
Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, success is, have I been, one, will people look at me as like, was I respectful of people? I want to always be known as that I respect all opinions. I'm respectful of all people. And people say that, not just you're a nice guy, but, you know, he respected me even though we didn't agree. He respected me. I think that's one way to define success as far as an individual. I also want to be able to say, look, through the work in doing economic development, through the work in our consulting practice, that we made a difference in people's lives. I don't want to have to think about going back and saying, hey, how many lives or, you know, but there's so many unspoken successes that I may not ever know about where a opportunity with a business that we may have helped expand and it gave somebody the income that they needed to send a child to college that has gone on and done great things. And now their family has now been able to have opportunity that they wouldn't have otherwise. I think that's the things that I would want people to look and judge. Hey, that was a successful guy.
And I know that people will say that about you. I know that personally, my friend. There's no question in my mind about it. So when you think about defining moments, right? Every leader I've ever interviewed, I've interviewed scores of people, either on podcasts, on stages, in studios all over the place. And I tell you, everyone can go back to defining moments in their career. Those moments that really mattered in positioning them to do the work that they love to do. Can you talk about a defining moment in your career and how that helped propel you forward?
Absolutely. I can tell you that early in the career, I had an opportunity to go back close to where I grew up in Mississippi and have an opportunity to work in economic development for a local economic development organization. And it was probably not the right time for that organization to go out and hire an executive. And it was probably more of a time to really figure out what do we want to do as we move forward. But the warning signs were there, but yet I ignored it because it was a chance to come back and do economic development close to where I grew up. When I got there, I realized within about a couple of weeks that it was the wrong decision. Through, you know, lots of prayer and said, we're going to make this work. Tell you, it was 13 months. It was very hard. And sure, it was not something that was sustainable, that the community really needed to go through its own soul searching and decide where it wanted to go. had the opportunity through, as I mentioned, standing on the shoulders of giants through Del Boyette, who was in Arkansas, had mentioned that, hey, Dave Harrington, who was the head of economic development for the state of Arkansas at that time, had an opening for someone that was looking for doing project work in the Pacific Rim countries. I will tell you, as growing up in Mississippi, I never thought about once in my life of working anything in the Pacific Rim. You know, at that time, we probably thought our neighboring state, Louisiana, New Orleans, was about as far than any of us would ever go. But to have that opportunity, I said, you know, this is the right thing. Left the comfort of an economic development job that was not challenging at that time, where, like I said, the community really needed to do some soul searching and figure out what direction they wanted to go, and then go do something that was way outside of my comfort zone. I took that job in September of 1991. And 3 weeks later, I was with Charlie Sloan, another mentor, spent some time in the Pacific Rim living in Japan. But in 3 weeks on the job, I was already in Japan, Taiwan, and South Korea.
My goodness.
And really, as you know, in a very different culture, nothing similar to Western culture, and really outside my comfort zone. But I will say that was one of the most defining moments, because it actually opened my eyes to what was going on in that part of the world and the region and the growth and the opportunity. And I can tell you today that those trips early in the 90s and going over there 2 and 3 times a year really gave me the comfort level when you had the opportunity to work with Toyota at the state of Mississippi level, that it was not something that I had to overcome. I was comfortable in that culture.
This is just amazing, Gray, that those moments of discomfort actually grow us as leaders more than we actually realize when we're going through it. Let me ask you the final question for today, Gray. I know you've been gracious with your time. Oprah's Masterclass is one of my favorite shows. And so I typically ask questions of leaders I admire. If your life were a masterclass, where somebody was teaching how to do leadership in life through the lens of your work, what do you think the title of that class would be?
Relentless Leadership.
Relentless Leadership. I love it. Everything about your record verifies that statement, too.
Well, I've heard sometimes the folks that work with me call me wired, and others said, man, you're just relentless. And and that's where I'm thinking about it, obsessing upon it, or just acting on it.
Yeah. Well, Gray, on behalf of Ron and the Always Forward podcast and all the communities that you've impacted through your leadership, the choices you've made, and how you've treated people on the way, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for being a part of Always Forward. We're cheering for you to continue to do that great work.
Thank you, Tim, and I appreciate being on the podcast with you.
Thanks, and let's keep things going. Always Forward.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at Ron Kitchens.
Thanks for listening today. I hope that you took away some great information that's going to take your leadership to the next level. In 2016, we're hoping to share more guest interviews on the podcast. If there's someone in our sphere of influence that you'd like to hear from specifically, stop by at ronkitchens.com and leave me a note of who you'd like to hear from and what questions you have for them. No guarantees, but we'll see what we can do. Thanks again for listening.